Good morning. It's good to be with you all this morning. I think based on Shelley's call to worship and encouragement during her leadership up here and Pastor Jeff as he led us into communion, I feel like we're pretty much good to go. I feel a little inadequate today, but that's okay. I'm here, you're here, so let's just go ahead and continue, shall we? Just for a few minutes at least. You know, when I was a kid, I loved playing golf. I still do, but I loved playing golf as a kid, and I had a great experience growing up in high school with a group of guys. We played golf together for years, starting really in middle school, and the guys that I played with were really good, and I was okay, but they were really good, and we had an awesome team. And so my junior year in high school, we won the state championship in golf in Virginia. And I wasn't much a part of that victory. I was there, I played, but they didn't really use my score, and we won nonetheless. And then my senior year, we were defending champs. The state championship was coming to our home course that we practiced on and played on since we were kids. Chewing. Guaranteed we're going to win again, right? We just had to get there. And so we go to the regional tournament, and I was better this year. That year, I had, you know, gotten a little bit better, and I thought, I'm going to contribute. I think I was like the second or third best scorer on the team that year, and I thought, for sure, I'm going to be a big part of this year and this victory. And at the regional tournament, for whatever reason, I played terribly. And I remember walking off the bus, it felt like, I mean, when I look back, I sort of remember it like a movie scene. I mean, we're walking off and we're Harrisonburg High School, you know, defending state champs, and everybody there sort of looking at us like scared. Oh no, here they come. Like, and then we tee off, and from there it was like all downhill. Just horrible. I played terribly. But the other three guys, you take four scores in high school golf. And so the other three guys that I played with all the time played really well. The only reason we didn't go to the state tournament was me. Was my score. And I remember on like the 17th hole, I think it was, our coach came to us, and he always really knew how to inspire and get the best out of us. And he came up to me on the tee and he goes, "Where do you stand?" And I said, "I'm whatever, 10 over, whatever it was." And he goes, "Oh, you have to par out in order for us to go to the state tournament." And I'm like, "Are you kidding?" Like, I needed that extra pressure going in the last two holes. I'm playing terribly. Well, I didn't finish well. And we lost. And we didn't go to the state tournament. But the three other guys that I was close with got to go on their own, individually. So I'm the only piece that didn't make it, that stopped our team from going. And I remember being so devastated and frustrated and hurt and thinking like, how could you let this? I mean, doesn't make any sense to me. And a couple days later, my grandfather passed away. My grandpa Quarter. And his funeral was the first day of the state tournament. And had I made it and played well and we'd gone to the state tournament, I would have had a decision to make that I don't think at that time, a 17-year-old, I would have been able to make well. And so I went to the funeral with my family, and then, of course, it was a significant time for us and a good time rejoicing and remembering him and impactful on our family. And then the next day I went and I was there when two of my good friends came in first and second in the state tournament. We would have won. Guaranteed we'd have won by their scores alone. And so I didn't understand why the Lord did what he did, but I think looking back now, I'm starting to get it, right? I started to understand a little bit more. And life is like that, right? Actually, before we go on, I think we've got a picture of me when I played golf in high school. Do we have a picture? Yeah, there. I don't know why you're laughing. Oh, is that Tiger Woods? That's Tiger Woods. Sorry, that's not us. Well, I'll get another picture later, but don't we all have experiences like that where we go, "Lord, what are you doing? Like, why would this happen? This doesn't make sense for why I would think you would be working in my life or how you would be working in my life. How could you let me go through this? This is painful." And as a kid, I remember thinking, that's devastating, right? But later, as we go and as we practice and work at trusting him and going, "You know what, maybe you know more than I do. Maybe your ways are better than my ways." We get to see a little picture of how he's actually working and what he's doing. Today, we're going to continue our study of Proverbs, and we're going to look at a passage in Proverbs that's probably one of the most well-known in Proverbs, one of the most quoted. It's a great couple verses here. We're going to look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And here's what it says. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. What's the significance of the heart? We have a few verses. We all know what the heart means. Really, it's everything that we are and do. It's our hopes, our dreams, our passions, our desires, our pain, our emotions, our love. The heart really encompasses all of who we are. Let's look at a couple of verses real quick. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Everything you do flows from it. Proverbs 15:13, "A happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit." Our heart and our spirit are connected. Proverbs 27:19, "As water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart." That's a great one. As water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. Our heart is all that we are and do. It's us. Now, why would we trust the Lord with our heart and not our mind? Why would he say, trust the Lord your God with your heart and your mind? But lean not on your own understanding. What does lean mean? Lean on your understanding. It's like the thing that would keep you supported in times of difficulty. Throughout your day, the thing that's going to keep you moving, keep you standing, keep you walking. We all know pictures of that. A crutch, a walker, this podium. If I'm struggling or tired or not feeling well, I could lean on this and it'll keep me upright. Why should we not lean on our own understanding? Isn't understanding good? Isn't wisdom good? Isn't knowledge good? Well, certainly it is. All of Proverbs talks about wisdom and knowledge and understanding. We've been looking at it for weeks now. Here's a couple passages about wisdom. Proverbs 4:5, "Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them." Proverbs 4:7, "The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding." Proverbs 16:16, "How much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver." Wisdom, knowledge, understanding is good. But it's not to be counted on in times of trial or struggle, or in our daily life, even our successes, it's not to be counted on. We cannot lean on that and use that to keep us walking in the right direction. He wants us to trust him with our heart, everything we are and do. He likes us to know him. Wisdom is good. He likes to reveal himself to us. Actually, it says in Proverbs 9:10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Knowledge of the Holy One. Jesus is wisdom and understanding. Knowledge of him is true understanding. That's a good thing. He wants us to know him intimately. But he doesn't want us to depend on our knowledge and understanding of who he is in times of difficulty. He wants us to trust him with our heart. Because our knowledge will fail us. Our understanding is inadequate. It's not enough. Our mental capacity to know and understand him is limited. There are aspects of Jesus' character and the Father's character and who he is and his purposes that we cannot understand and don't understand and may never understand. He wants us to continue to get to know him, but we can't trust in our understanding and knowledge of him. Does that make sense? Are you getting what I'm saying? That is limited because we can never fully know him. There are mysteries about him. For instance, little things like this. In the kingdom, the weak is strong. Weakness is strength. Well, that's hard to understand, right? That doesn't make sense in our culture and the way that we live. In his kingdom, in his character, if you want to save your life, you have to give it away. If you try to preserve it, you're going to lose it. That doesn't make sense. That's hard to understand. Maybe we get a glimpse of it here and there, but to truly understand that and know that is very difficult. And so we can't trust our knowledge of him and leave that to be the thing that's going to keep us going and moving and going towards him and loving him and trusting in him, because it'll fail us. Now, our hearts, sometimes it's hard to trust him, right? There's a disconnect between our heart and our mind. We know the way we want to live. You all are sitting here today because you want to know him and love him and live the way he wants you to live. You want to act like him and talk like him and love like him. I know you do because I know most of you really well. And you want that. But there's a disconnect between your head and your heart. And it's hard to always live the way we want to live. I know that I should be patient with my children, but there's times when I'm not. I get pretty upset and quick and frustrated. I know that I should eat healthy, and that's a good thing for me, right? But ice cream has my heart. I just got to say it. There are times when I just want ice cream, even though I know I probably shouldn't. You know, I really like it. That's a simple, small example, but the truth is, our head and our heart sometimes are in conflict. I know sometimes that what my wife said was not intended to hurt me, and yet my heart is hurt, and I am struggling with it. Anybody ever had that experience before when someone you love says something and you go, I know they didn't mean it that way, so why am I so hurt by this? It's because our heart and our head sometimes are at odds. And that's why Jesus says, trust me with your heart. Trust me with your heart. Not your mind. Don't think about your understanding of me and using that to keep you going. The other thing I love about this passage is these are relational terms. Trust. Submission. Submit to him. Another version says, acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. These are relational terms. These are not just good thoughts or theories. These are talking about and pointing us to a relationship with him. He wants us to be connected intimately with his heart, with who he is. If I know all the ways that I should be a good husband to Sarah, and I know, well, I need to take care of her and say nice things from time to time and help her clean up and help her with the children and provide for the family and give her attention and sit and chat with her, but my heart is not engaged with hers, and I'm not loving her out of my heart and connected to her in that way, do you think she feels like there's a relationship there? No way. She feels like I'm doing what I have to, but there's no real connection. There's no real love. And the Lord doesn't want that from us. He doesn't want us just to know the principles and precepts and things that we should do to be in connection and relationship with him, but have no connection with our heart and our soul and who we are with him. He would rather us have no idea what it looks like to follow him. And this you can see in Scripture. All through Scripture, all through the Gospels, the disciples had no idea what it meant to trust and walk with him and love him and all that and do the right things and act the right way and talk the right talk. But they loved him and they were committed to him and they trusted him and he loved it because he's in a real relationship with them, even though their knowledge of him at times was probably less than ours. But he was so engaged with them and they were so engaged with his heart and he loves that. That's what he wants from us, more than knowledge of him. You know, in John 14:21, it says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. I too will love him. Does that mean that if you don't have his commands and obey them, he doesn't love you? Absolutely not. What I think that means is, as you love him, as you obey him, as you trust him, you experience his love in a new way and profound way, in a different way. And, oh, he reveals himself to us. We gain knowledge and understanding of who he is as we trust and love him. Isn't that awesome? What a great verse that is. It doesn't mean he doesn't love us. He loves us before we ever existed. So much so that he sent his son. I loved what Jeff said today about communion. But we need to remember what he did. Because that's part of us being able to trust him, is to know he's trustworthy and what he's done. But as we trust him, as we obey him, as we commit our hearts and our lives to him, he shows us his love in new ways and reveals himself, his character, his person to us. And then it's a little bit easier to trust him the next time. Right? As we get to experience him. So how do you trust him? How do we do that? Because it's hard, day to day. You know, one of the most difficult ways to trust him, I think, is in our successes. We always talk about it in our difficult situations, in our trials or failures or things that are hard. But I think sometimes it's really hard to trust him in our successes. In all our ways, submit to him. Why should we submit to him? Because he is worth submitting to. His plans are better than our plans. His ways are better than our ways. He is going to lead us where he wants us to go and get us through the experiences he wants us to go through to reveal himself to us. So how do we trust him? I think it's a couple different ways. Practice. In the little things. Trust him. Just say, Lord, I'm going to trust you in this. Even though it's a little bit hard, I'm just going to trust it. Even though I don't think this is good, or I know I can see an outcome here that makes sense for me, that's going to benefit me, or preserve my life, or make my life better, or get me through life in as least amount of pain and trial and struggle as possible, even though I don't see that outcome here, I'm going to trust you with it. As Shelley said today, she was worrying last week about something and didn't see an outcome that was going to be good. But she worked at it. She tried to trust, and she was working it out. And the Lord worked out the situation in a way that she never could have seen, but was better in the end than she could have imagined from the beginning. Does he always do that? Sometimes, no. In our understanding of him. But always, he does with his purpose. He always works it out for the good of us and our hearts and our eternal significance and relationship with him for his purposes. He always works it out for good. Even though it's hard to see sometimes, because to us on this earth, it doesn't make a lot of sense. We're so focused on the temporary, the here and now, the moment. But he's focused on eternity. Our character, our person, becoming like him, talking like him, thinking like him, loving like him. That's what he's focused on. So we need to practice trusting in him. We need to get to know him, certainly. That's part of it. Get wisdom, get understanding, get to know him a little bit. Spend time in the scriptures. That's important because sometimes when you're in a difficult situation, a verse will come to memory and you'll go, oh my goodness, I don't know where that came from, but that's a good encouragement today. Memorize some scripture. I don't know if you do that. This is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Sarah has had our little girls memorizing this for the last 6 months or so, a year. And so they just say it. Now, do they understand it fully and get it, all the intricacies of what this means? No. Do I? No. But they know it, and so maybe one day it'll come back to memory when they need it. It's an important part of following him. Prayer. Ask him, Lord, help me. Help me here. There's times when we can't of ourselves trust him. It's very hard. And so we need to ask him to step in and help us. Give us divine help and assistance in trusting him. And others. We need friends. We need to be there for each other. When we can't believe and trust in him, we need others to believe and trust for us. You know, there are times in our lives when we are dealing with something so painful and difficult and hard that it's so hard for us to get there and to trust him. We want to, but it's just so hard today because I'm facing something so big. And so to have others that are willing to trust and believe on your behalf is invaluable. It's so important. You know, you've heard me speak quite a bit about my struggles with anxiety and fear, depression, panic attacks. I'll tell you, there are times when I'm in those moments, and it's a matter of not trusting the Lord and trusting in my own understanding, my own knowledge of the outcome, and where is this going? This doesn't look good from where I sit. I'm worried about this, and I'm not trusting the Lord. And my wife or my brother or someone will say, you're not trusting the Lord. Why do you think he's not trustworthy today? He's taking care of you every day your entire life. Every day, without fail. And today, you're going to say he's not going to show up. Today, you're going to believe that he's not there or engaged in what you're dealing with. You're not going to trust. You've got to trust. And they push me. And they give me counsel and encouragement. And they, discipline and rebuke and all the things that I need at the moment to remember that it's about trusting him. That's what he wants from me. He doesn't want me to figure out a good outcome or to wiggle my way through this thing to get to a point where I'm happy or safe again. He wants me to trust him, because in every situation that we find ourselves in, every situation without fail, if our heart is connected to him and trusting in him, that outcome is irrelevant. It's irrelevant. The outcome today is insignificant if we're really truly connected and trusting in him and our hearts are engaged with his. Because that's how we were created. That's what he wants most from us. And maybe one day he'll explain to us and show us, here's why I let that happen. Right? So let's look at a couple examples in the scriptures of friends of ours that we've gotten to know through reading about them and hearing about them, and some of the challenges that they faced in believing and trusting in their heart as opposed to their knowledge and understanding. Luke 5:1-8. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge, two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Peter's a fisherman. He's done this his whole life. Okay? He knows fishing. He's been doing it all night and hadn't caught anything. And Jesus says, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. And Simon says, in my mind, I don't get it. Master, we've worked all night and we haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I'll let down the nets. He trusted, even though in his mind it didn't make sense. When they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break, so that they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled their both boats so full they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. Peter, in that moment, got to experience a little bit about who Jesus was and learned to trust just a little bit, even though it didn't make sense to him what the Lord was asking him to do. I'm going to go over the next one real quick. Ananias, okay, is a disciple of Jesus. And Jesus comes to him and says, you need to go see this person, Saul. And Ananias says, Lord, are you sure this person, Saul, is someone I need to go see? He's been persecuting believers. He's been killing them. He stood and gave approval at the stoning of Stephen. And the Lord said, go see him and tell him that he's my chosen instrument. And Saul goes, even though it risked his life. In his mind, it didn't make sense. This guy is persecuting and killing believers, of which I'm one, and you want me to go see him. And he just says, you know what, Lord, I'm going to trust you. And he goes. And he has this exchange with Saul, and Saul then goes on his way to become Paul. And then one of my favorites, in John 11:17, I'm going to give you just a quick snapshot because we're getting late here, but this is when Lazarus is sick, and Jesus gets word that Lazarus is sick. And so, because he loves Lazarus and his sisters so much, Martha and Mary, he stays two more days where he is. That doesn't make sense to us in our understanding of what true love is, but he stays. And then he goes to see them, takes the disciples, and the disciples don't really understand what's going on. He said, well, it's not going to end in death. And then he tells them, but he's dead. And so he goes to see them, and Martha runs out and says, Lord, if only you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. You should have been here, Lord. Why weren't you here? That doesn't make sense to me. In my understanding of who you are and how you love me, you should have been here. But even now, God will give you what you ask. What you ask for. And Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. This is great, her response here. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day. She starts going back to her knowledge of Jesus and of the scriptures. Yeah, okay, I get it. He's going to rise one day when everyone else rises at the resurrection. That's great. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Yes, Lord, she told him. I've always believed you're the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. goes down and Jesus has an experience with her sister Mary, who asked the same thing, if you'd have been here. And Jesus loved them so much, he says, let's go to the tomb. They go to the tomb and Jesus says, all right, roll away the stone. And Martha, who he just had this exchange with, that said, yes, I believe you, Lord, says, Lord, he's been dead 4 days. It's going to stink. It's not going to be pretty. You really want them to roll away the stone? She's leaning back on her own understanding, not trusting with her heart at that very moment because it's difficult for her to see the outcome Jesus is working on. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you, Martha, that you would see God's glory if you believe? If you believe, if you trust in him, you'll see his glory and he'll reveal himself to you and show himself to be trustworthy. You know, Sarah and I had an experience many years ago before we had any children. We were pregnant for the first time. We were really excited. And we went to the doctor. Sarah had already heard the heartbeat, but I hadn't. We went to the doctor to get a sonogram and hear the heartbeat together for the first time, and we were really excited. There was no heartbeat. We had lost the baby, and that was a very painful moment. And we didn't understand, Lord, what are you doing here? We'd been trying to get pregnant for some time, a couple years, and it was difficult, but we got pregnant, and we were really excited. And then we lose the baby. And I remember sitting in our house together, just battling through the emotions and the pain and the difficulty of that, and we both, independent of each other, had this realization and this experience with the Lord where we said, you know what? It's Good Friday. Easter was Sunday. It's Good Friday, and here we are with this loss and this pain. And we both felt like the Lord said to each one of us, I know what it's like to lose a child. Now, does that make the situation perfect and easy and go away? No, of course there was still pain. But we experienced the Lord and his heart and his love in a way that we never would have before. Just a small interaction with him that we'll remember forever. You know, we have these rocks here from the first day that we had a service at this church in this space. And these are here to remind us of the faithfulness, that he is trustworthy, that he is working for us and with us. And he wants us to work with him and to trust in him. So I don't want us to forget about these rocks here. I think these are so great that we have these here, because it's meaningful. We need to remember all the ways that the Lord has worked in our lives, even when we didn't see it and couldn't understand it. So I want to give us 1 minute right now to just close your eyes and think, Lord, what in my life, what aspect of my life right now am I not trusting you with my heart? Am I leaning on my own understanding? And maybe he'll reveal something to you and meet you in that place. Lord, thank you that you love us, that you sent your Son, Lord, that we can know him and you and your Spirit, that we can engage with you every minute of every day, Lord, but sometimes it's hard for us to do that. It's hard for us to trust and to believe in you with our hearts, Lord, and we lean on our understanding from time to time. Lord, help us to not do that. Help us to just trust you with our heart. And as we do that, Lord, continue to reveal yourself to us. And maybe it'd get a little bit easier every day to trust you. Lord, we love you and we're grateful for our time this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.